Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Be a mama with the kids and you know what in the sheets. No pain,
no pain.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and my co-host, Chris Michael Ward. I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and everyone in the 35 countries around the globe that's tuning in on this Friday. I appreciate you. I couldn't do it without you, and you inspire me to be better than I am. And tonight, before I introduce my wonderful guest, I want to say hello to my co-host, Chris. Chris, how you doing, darling?
I'm doing good, Terry, and I just want to second that emotion and say, you know, I also thank our listeners for listening every week. They're awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, because if you don't appreciate them, that can drop off real easy, you know. But tonight we got a special guest here. We got Nathan B. Brooken. He wrote his first book of poetry dedicated to the beautiful black queens. And he said that he was inspired by his mom and the woman who helped raise him and create in him the man he is today. So without further ado, I want to introduce Mr. Nathan B. Brooken. How you doing, Nathan?
Nathan is doing well tonight. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so blessed to be here. You know, every day I'm breathing, another day to tell my story. So I'm grateful for that. You know, I know that reading about you that you got a play you're trying to bring out and some other works that you want to do. But what inspired, I know you said your mom inspired you to write this book about beautiful black sisters. Because, you know, she's a black woman and she raised you with a lot of good values. But what made you decide when you chose to write this book?
Well, I was working on my novel way, way back in the day. It's been years. And I ran into writer's block. And as much as I wanted to and I was trying to move it further, I couldn't move it any further than I had already moved it. And so I just went walking through the neighborhood one day, and one of the ladies I wrote about in the book, Mrs. Simmons, or a poem I wrote about her, she got on my mind, and a thought she used to always tell me crossed my mind, and you know, always reach for the sky. And then I went to the library later on that day, and I wrote Bloom, Black Flower, Bloom. That was the first poem I wrote for the book. And why? And after I wrote it, just like something in my spirit just opened up and said, go ahead on and make it a book and pay tribute to all the women besides her. And just that's how I started. It was just I was trying to get over writer's block, and a poem came to my mind, and then the rest of them seemed to just come. And I wrote them down on a piece of paper, and a few years ago, I was fortunate enough to get them published.
Well, that's wonderful. I see that Chris got a question for you.
Yes, Nathan. My first question to you is, you know, in researching you and Googling you, I've seen on like Amazon your book has 4 stars. So are you surprised that people keep mentioning and keep supporting your book, you know, 7 or so years later? Does that surprise you?
Well, not really, because when I was doing my own research to put it together, I let a variety of different women sample it, and so many of them, you know, when I say different women, I don't, you know, white, Asian, Latino, and they liked it just as much as some of the black women did. And matter of fact, one woman told me, you know, you set out to, you know, honor your mother and the women that raised you, but you honored every woman that's walking God's green earth. So that was like a compliment I took, you know, very, very to heart. It made me feel really, really good, because I thought initially, well, the only people that would be able, or women that would be able to relate to would be black women, but I've had other women who have purchased it from me and enjoyed it just as much as black women have. So that's, you know, I'm not surprised. And we just wish it would start selling a little more so I can make some money off of it. But other than that, no, I'm not really surprised.
Okay, yeah, I hear you.
As I was reading your book, you have a lot of references in these poems to people in the Bible, like Boaz, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Adam and Eve, you know. So I see that, you know, you have the Bible as an undertone for your writing, which is a good thing. But I'm going to read one of your poems that you wrote, and then I want you to give us some freestyle, because there's some things in here I don't want to read, because they are derogatory terms that women are called, whether black or white, you know, and it's amazing how people don't understand. Women, they don't walk on four legs, you know, and when you constantly put a woman down, the more she's going to feel like she's not good enough. And so I just want that to resonate in people's minds. But this poem is a short one. It's called Black Women Remind Me of Books. Black women remind me of books, for they are quite an adventure, uplifting, funny, exciting, full of information, can provide great pleasures when fully appreciated. And I appreciate this is about black women, but any woman, if she feels appreciated, if she's heard, if she's listened to, she will provide all those things that you just mentioned. And even though this is for my beautiful black sisters, I implore everybody that this book is not just for the black female. It's for women, period. It's empowering women. But, you know, the reason why I think he said it for my beautiful black sisters, because his mom, him being a black man, you know, instilled in him virtues of a beautiful black woman. So with that being said, can I ask you to give us a little freestyle, some spoken word? Because you thought you do that as well.
Yes, I have a video on YouTube if you want to look it up. But I'm recite one of my favorite poems, the one that I sold printed books with by reciting it to women and letting them read it. It's called My Daughter. It goes like this. My daughter is going to know, for I'm going to tell her. First and foremost, you belong to yourself. Seek the best, sweetheart. You deserve it. That's not my opinion. It's God's. There are no one who hasn't respected you, put forth their best effort to make you smile. There's no harm in saying no. Don't ever get in the habit of saying yes. It's a fool's favorite response. Wherever you travel, take love with you. Don't ever settle, demand. Because in this world, there's two kinds of people, those who step and those who accept the poem. End the poem.
All right. I like that. And on that note, I'm going to kick it over to Chris with his question.
Okay, Nathan. My next question is, out of all these poems that are in this book, are there any poems that you can, like, that stick in your brain that you can, like, recite without looking at it? I mean, I know it might be a silly question, but it's just a question that popped in my brain. So are there any, like, poems that you can look at that you can, you know, recite without looking at it?
Well, some of my other favorites, I like some of the short ones. One of my personal favorites is the Black Woman and the Lioness. And it reads like this: the black woman and the lioness have much in common. Not only are they beautiful, but the preserver of their packs. They were far from home at sunrise, busy themselves so the men and children can eat.
Wow.
In the poem. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I write.
So let me ask you a question. You know, to write this beautiful poetry, does that mean that you are married because you can see the beauty in women?
No, I haven't been the luckiest guy in the love department. I always meet the wrong one. I've had a lot of, you know, loss in my life. So, especially the early because my Miss Simmons and my mother died 6 years apart in the same month, and I was very close to both of them. And another lady I wrote about in the book, Miss Pearl. All three of them died within like a decade, and all of them died in the month I was born. Miss Simmons died 4 days after my birthday. My mother died a week before my birthday, and Miss Pearl died 12 days after my birthday.
Okay.
So,
well, is that stopping you from finding love, or you afraid to
no,
love?
No, it hasn't stopped me. It's just I've been searching. It's just you know, I don't mean to sound like a grouch, but it's not like it used to be. It's not much out there to, you know, few pickings nowadays. It's not like it used to be. I think I was born sometimes 10 years too late, but that's just a personal opinion. I don't, you know, really dwell on it. Yeah, I look forward to it. I'm thinking about starting a relationship now, but I just met a lady passing through the airport, and I haven't had a chance to really talk to her. I hope I get a chance to, but as of now, no kids, haven't been married, but I'll, you know, hope soon to remedy that problem. But I don't really consider it a problem. It's just like we were saying earlier, just the time in which we live. You know, you have to make the best, do the best of what you have, not get, you know, too frustrated or down because, you know, God works on his time, not ours.
Yeah, but one thing you did say, it seemed like the picking is slim. I feel that way about the guys. But, you know, I just think that most of the good guys and the good women are probably already taken. And the people who die, they know how to hold on because what's left over, it takes a lot of work, a lot of therapy. And sometimes you just don't want to go through all that headache. You know, it's just like too much.
And then we are in the midst also of what looked like the third or fourth generation of people that didn't come up in two-parent homes, and no one's been around to teach the young man how to be men, and no one's been around to teach the young women how to be women. And that's not a knock. It's just what's been going on, and a lot of us just running around dazed and confused in a circle trying to figure it out. And the people before, you know, they had parents. They had strong communities, you know, stronger people that live, you know, close to me and just really, you know, was trying to help one another as opposed to now. Everybody just seemed to be going in a million different directions without taking the time to smell the coffee.
You know, that's right, darling. You said such true words. Yes, you have. We're going to take a little small break. When we come back, we're going to let Chris ask his question because, you know, we'll take a small break. Stay with us. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Okay.
but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
One Mass, the author is Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. And I just want to real quick say thank you to my listeners, North to South, East to West, and my global listeners. And Chris, real quick, I'll get a question before we run out of time, darling.
Okay, yeah. My next question, Nathan, is what is the takeaway you want people to have reading this book? What is something you want people to take away from it?
Well, I hope if they read and really appreciate poetry, their perception and reaction and treatment of black women will improve. That was one of the main reasons I wrote it, because I grew up, you know, just as hip-hop was beginning to take off, and hip-hop felt a lot of negative images of black women, and I think in the last maybe 10 to 15 years it got even worse than it was when I was younger. I remember people, you know, dancing to the Two Live Crew and that, but even what he put out now, they seem tame to what they showing our kids today, so I hope they read that, get a whole different opinion and view of black women, but not only black women, but women in general. But that one of the main reasons I wanted to that I wrote it, because I wanted people to know that I came from great women, and that's still great women who walk around here today. We just need to take the time to appreciate them and you know, get to know them and truly understand and value their worth and contribution to the world.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Nathan. We appreciate that you spend your time with us to share.
Yeah, thank you.
Poetry. And do you like to tell someone how they can get a hold of you, where they can find your work?
It's like we already said, it's on Amazon. I have a video on YouTube, and if they want to, you know, contact me personally, they can via my Twitter account, and you should be able to. My face should come up, and you know, like to say anything additional, answer an additional question, but just know a little more about the book, I'll, you know, that happily get them information.
Well, thank you. And again, everyone, for his book of poetry, For My Beautiful Black Sister by Nathan B. Brooken, B-R-O-O-K-E-N. His book is selling for $13.95. Some nice little weight to it. You will be very delighted, and, you know, keep in touch, because look for him on YouTube. You know, you can see some of his spoken word. You know, look for him on Twitter. You know, and Amazon, they selling his stuff, man. Money will get some, you know. But on that note, this is always home for you, Nathan. If you ever want to come back, just give me a shout out. And anybody
I will happily do so.
Go ahead, darling.
I would happily, you know, come back if you would be happy to have me. I'll be happy to come back, because I was telling you before we went on about this play I was working on now. And once we get going and I find out what direction is going on, I would, you know, be happy to call you and share the information with your listeners. It's a reboot of a television show, Good Times. And, I worked on that over the summer, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting it produced and having it make it all the way to Broadway.
Wow.
All right. I hope so, too, you know.
Awesome.
But, you know, when you dream big.
Dream big.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right. Dream big. You know,
yeah.
And
I also wrote a play. I also wrote a play for this book of poems, but I got to, you know, find the time to sit down to the computer and type it up. But, yeah, I did a play for the poems as well, too. I want to get that done, too. But we're going to, you know, run with Good Time for a while, and if they get gone, that's going to be the next project I worked on. I wrote a play and a script to and based around the poems, and in the play every poem gets recited.
All right, that's still happen. Okay, so on that note, I appreciate you being here, Chris. I thank you for being here and being my backbone when I need somebody to, you know, have
I appreciate you too, Terry. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So tune in next week with us. We're going to have Dr. Mary Edwards, and she's going to talk about MEDIC, medic. If you don't at the promo, you won't know what it stands for, but it's not what you think it stands for. But anyway, tune in next week for the same. And if you want to check out this particular show that Nathan Brooken was on, go to the archives or go to Chris Michael Ward's page. And, you know, you can share from his page or share from my page, author is Terry E. Lyle or Terry E. Lyle, you know. But I appreciate you, Nathan. And, again, you have a safe weekend and you stay healthy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it as well. Have a lovely night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.